The region actually created many, mostly better jobs in the decade 2000 to 2010, when economic growth helped create just under 800,000 jobs per month, every month. Wage workers saw their real wages rise, the self-employed saw their poverty rate fall, and indeed poverty rates fell for all groups of workers. In contrast, the enormity of the employment challenge refers to the next two decades, when South Asia will need to create between 1 and 1.2 million jobs per month, in other words, 25 to 50% higher than it has done in the past decade, at rising levels of productivity.
1.2 million jobs. Man, that's huge. Like some people would say, hey, it's the demographics, stupid.
My answer to that is yes and no. On the one hand, yes, there's going to be a very large number of young people entering the workforce, and the age composition of the population is going to be favorable. In other words, there'll be fewer people who are dependent on the system, and therefore these resources that are released from that lower dependency can be used to create the conditions for growth. But I say no, also because it's not going to happen automatically. There's a very large number of entrants, as Rima just said, but it's only going to happen if there's a conducive policy environment to create the conditions for job growth, particularly infrastructure, and within infrastructure, electricity, workers with skills, well-nourished workers that are able to be productive in their working lives. And if our countries are able to use the resources released by these lower dependency ratios to spend and build up these other areas, we will then see the demographic dividend.
There are a lot of challenges in these countries. Some of them, of course, are being into poverty, but I hear there's a tremendous corruption and all that.
Well, we like to think of the three E's: electricity, early childhood development, and entry and exit of firms. Now, why electricity? Enterprise managers all rate electricity supply as a top constraint for their operations and growth. Reform of the power sector is therefore critical for job creation. But it's not just a question of investing more to meet these crippling power shortages. Equally important to investment, public and private investment, is improving the governance of public utilities. For example, firms in dealing with electricity companies report having to pay bribes. Electricity, corruption, and political instability are among the top three constraints in large parts of South Asia.
Rima, you were talking about early childhood development, which was the second D that you talked about. What does that have to do with employment?
Employers are only partly satisfied with the skills of the graduates of engineering and training institutions. And this refers to the whole range of skills. So emphasizing the quality of learning at all levels of the education and training systems is a priority. But what we argue is that actually the biggest payoffs may very well come from addressing early childhood interventions before children even get to school. This is because the prevalence of malnutrition among children under five in South Asia is highest in the world, and indeed higher than sub-Saharan Africa. So if this is left unaddressed, there's a huge risk of cognitive impairment in children, which then leads to poor performance in school and then less success in the labor market.
Kalpana?
I just wanted to add, we say in the report that what we're asking for is a labor market regulation that protects workers and not jobs. Right now, the regulations protect those people who already have jobs in the formal sector. But that leaves out a very large proportion of the population that is not employed in the formal sector and therefore are not even protected by these regulations.